Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's February 15, 2024, and we are doing our invocation group coaching tonight. We do this every other month now. And this is a chance to get in the hot seat and do whatever kind of invocation you want to do. It could be, embodied awakening, one of the healing invocations, could be a custom invocation, could be a hollow read. And I empathically scrutinize you and give you feedback on things you might do to make it better, answer your questions about invocation. It's a way to just top up your abilities. So, and if you're watching this live or on the recording, then chances are pretty good that some of the tips I give to the folks in the hot seat might be helpful to you too. So that's why we do it. All right. But first, of course, we're going to set up a safe container. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick version of the ally call-in. So we'll do that in a sec here. The yawns always come up when energy is moving through. Here we go. Oh, as I do this, please relax, be passive, just feel any energetic effects you notice in your own body. If you can't feel that, just feel your breath come and go passively on its own. Pachamama. Mama Kia. We're a coach in tea. Ooh, feeling good. Allies, please come.
Oh.
Thank you. Please prepare me to facilitate this call in a way that serves the highest good of all. Thank you. I call the higher selves of everyone on this call, live or on the recording, to guide me for their highest good. Let there be a membrane around this sacred space to hold in this good energy and ensure that all that enters here is of high vibration and benevolent intent. Very good. Anyone who's hearing my voice live or on the recording, if you'd like to call in any additional allies of high vibration and benevolent intent, please do that now if you want to. Thank you. Allies, please fine-tune this space to best support this event. There we go. Well done. All right. Oh, I've had some more folks show up. So I want to thank everyone I see live on the call at this very moment. Welcome, Vivian, James, Jeannie, Judy, Laura, Marcy, and Stephanie. Welcome, and welcome to all you folks on the recording. You're equally welcome. And as I said, your participation here will probably do you some good as well. Okay, so the way this works, it's a hot seat format. Someone will volunteer. They'll get in the hot seat, they'll do their invocation, and I'll observe whether they'll ask a question about it. And let's start with someone who has never been in the hot seat on this specific event for invocation group coaching. So let me double check. Yep. Unmuting is allowed. To be in the hot seat, you must be able to speak, and I have to be able to hear you live. So if there is such a person who hasn't yet there, Marcy, hello.
Hi. Okay, so this is where I would need some assistance. I
Okay.
wanted to rev up my practice. I feel that when I'm on the call, like I said the other night, I feel such tranquility and I really feel the energy. When I do it on my own, I don't feel that high vibration. And what's happening this week, especially, I don't know if it's Mars energy or what's happening astrologically. But I'm getting very caught up and I'm getting very frustrated and angry and feeling it in my chest cavity. And it's very disconcerting. So I could use some assistance how to be able to kind of what eclipse that.
Okay. All right. So what's happening astrologically? Yesterday on the 14th on Valentine's Day, there was a Mars-Pluto conjunction in the sky. And that can be really intense on the low parameter of that. It can be frustrating. You can feel angry. You can do impulsive things. So now there's a lot of great high side too. I mean, you can, all the high archetypes of Mars are empowered by Pluto. You can step up boldly as the warrior, the pioneer, the sexual being, the entrepreneur. Mars can energize all the wonderful Pluto things, shadow work, stepping into your power, stepping into wealth. So there's a lot of great potentials of a Mars-Pluto conjunction too, but what you were describing does sound a little bit like some of its low manifestations. So that's affecting everybody. And that those two coming together is a pretty powerful moment in astrology. So, but regardless of what the planets are doing, that need not prevent you from doing good invocation work. Let me address something you brought up. You said it's not as juicy when you do it on your own as when you do it on the calls, right?
Correct.
Well, that's true for just about everybody, at least when they're in the early to mid stages. The fact is, when you're in a group container, when you've got the energy of everyone in a process like we do on Awakening Plus and all of our energies are combined, there's just a lot more power there than most people can typically generate on their own. So, of course, it's going to feel stronger. It's just common sense. In fact, the Law of One channel material speaks to this. They say when you're doing spiritual work, every person gathered multiplies it logarithmically. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024, on like that. So when we get a few dozen people on a call, there's a lot of amplified power there, if that's true. So you're not doing anything wrong if it's not as strong on your own. That's in a way to be expected. However, it's also true that the more you practice and the more you develop strong relationship, blending and connection with your own higher self and your allies, the juicier your own solo practice is going to get. Because in a way, you're not alone anymore. You've got every divine being you're working with, is a multiplier in a way. So I don't feel bad. I've heard that so many times from clients. Oh, it's just not as strong when I do it on my own. And it's perfectly understandable. So don't feel bad about that. Just, keep plugging away on your solo practice and it will get stronger over time. The more of those heavy layers you peel away, the more you step into your awakening more potently, the more potency your own solo practice is going to have. Does that all make sense, Marcy?
Well, of course. Also, then, moreover, what invocation would you suggest to be able to feel more ease and grace? Because I find that these energies are very palpable for someone who's very sensitive like myself. And it's very, how to say it, I don't want to do drugs, but I found myself so many times just sitting here and constantly doing body awakening. So I thought maybe if there's some words of some pearls or some other keywords that I can put in the invocation to have more ease and grace.
Well, why don't you make a custom invocation and plug in ease and grace? You say maximum ease and grace that serves highest good, please.
Oh, that would that doesn't sound too difficult.
Kind of a blinding flash of the obvious,
Yeah.
The
Okay.
way you construct custom invocations is it's maximum fill in the blank that serves highest good, please, and you plug in what you want. You said ease and grace twice, so that must be what you want.
Okay,
Wanna
and
you want to do that one real quick right now and see the effect?
of course, where how can I not take advantage of being at the feet of the master? Okay, yes.
Whatever. Okay, so how on the scale of 1 to 10, how much ease and grace are you feeling in this very moment?
Two.
So that's a very low score, right? Okay. All right, so just feel that 2 of ease and grace, and just let me know when you really have a true feeling of its current state.
I do.
Okay. And anyone else on the call is welcome to do this with us. It'll help Marcy if we do. So anyone who wants to call Maximum Ease and Grace, do it with me along with Marcy. So you ready to invoke Marcy?
Exactly, yes.
So say Maximum Ease and Grace
Maximum ease and grace
that serves highest good, please.
that serves highest good, please.
And become complete. Oh yeah, here it comes. You're being completely passive. You're just letting it come to you, right?
Yes.
No helping from the ego, just receive. Yeah, I'm empathically, I'm feeling it coming in. It's in your upper body pretty strongly. Are you noticing that?
Right at my shoulders.
Yeah. Okay, so just relax and let it soak in. It'll soak in as quickly as it can without overdoing it. I'm sensing your allies do know how sensitive you are, and they definitely do not want to ever overwhelm you. So they're bringing it in nice and gentle. And for some reason, they're keeping it above the waist for the most part. So let's just see where they want to put it. Oh, they're indicating we don't need to go below the root chakra. So they're down to the root chakra. And are you feeling it mostly in the body, in the arms, and the head?
Around my shoulders and my heart.
Okay. All right, so just let it soak in. Let it go where it wants to go. They know where to send it. Is there a little bit of a nice feeling coming over your body?
There definitely is.
There's your ease and grace. Just let it soak in. And anyone else who's doing this with us, feel that yourself as well.
Thank you. This is beautiful.
Yeah, so I'm empathically feeling it getting gradually stronger. And let's just wait until it peaks. We'll feel when it kind of plateaus, and they say enough for now. I think it just topped off. Did you feel that too?
Yes.
So 0 to 10, how much ease and grace now?
Seven.
All right, that's a big improvement. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Thank you.
so Marcy, just persist. I just my last Awaken Heal Thrive podcast was on the manifestation magic of momentum. And momentum is kind of the same as persistence. You just gotta keep on keeping on and keep practicing. And your rate of progress is perfect for you. You're not in competition with anybody. There's always gonna be those who get it quicker, those who don't get it as fast as you do. Just to say my pace is perfect for me and just keep plugging away, do the best tools you can as well as you can, and just keep it on. And now you know if there's a particular energy you want, like ease and grace, just ask exactly for that in a custom invocation and let him bring it.
That was a beautiful gift. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other loose ends, Marcy, before we move to our next person?
Can I ask another one, or would you rather somebody else?
I would rather, if we have time at the end, why don't you come back with another one?
Okay, thank you. Absolutely.
All right, you're welcome. Well done. Okay, anyone else who's never been in the hot seat during this event? Stephanie, is that you?
Yes, it is.
All right, so what invocation would you like to work on?
Well, I do a custom invocation before I go to, as I'm going to bed every night, and I just wanted to run it past you and see and be coached on it, I guess.
Okay, so what's the invocation?
It's maximum alignment with source that serves highest good to the greatest extent at the fastest rate, a loving and gentle way that serves highest good. This or something better. Thank you. I love you. So be it.
Wow. Okay. And that's pretty comprehensive. What do you need coaching on?
I don't know. I just like to see, I try not to second guess myself or wonder if it's working or anything, because I can drive myself crazy doing that. But I would just like to see what you observe.
Oh, you want to do it and have me empathically watch?
Yes, please.
Okay. So of the qualities you're about to ask for, 0 to 10, how strong is it at this moment?
Oh, probably like a three or four.
Okay. So feel that level of the thing you're about to call in. and let me know when you
Okay.
feel it clearly at its current level.
Okay.
Got it? All right. Let it rip, baby.
Okay. Maximum alignment with source that serves highest good to the greatest extent at the fastest rate in a loving and gentle way that serves highest good. This is something better. Thank you. I love you, Sylvia.
Okay, so now relax. Whoa, feel it coming in?
Yeah, a little.
All right, so just I sense there is a certain tension in your field that's not really full passivity. Are you noticing that kind of little jangly vibe that's in there?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so let me tell you how to get past that.
Okay.
Put all of your attention on the jangly resistance and feel it completely. All the way, give it your full attention. There, are you with it now? Really feeling it all the way? All
Yeah.
right, just be with it for a moment, exactly as it is. You're not changing anything. Wow, feel how it's softening just because you're there?
Yeah.
Okay, now go to zero effort, just drop to nothing. Relax completely, 100%. Yep, there it was. See how the tension dropped away, and all of a sudden that energy you invoked is coming in a lot easier?
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, so that's a real key. Anytime there's a resistance in an invocation process or an energy process, my favorite method is blend with the discordant energy, be one with it for a few seconds, or you really blend in, then you relax, and almost every time it'll relax with you, and
Yeah.
that'll resistance. So now just stay at passivity now, zero effort. And it feels to me like that energy is pretty much all through you. Are you feeling that too?
Yes,
Being, I
I
said,
think.
yeah,
I'm sorry.
let it fill you. So it's there, but I sense there's more available. It can saturate you a little more strongly. So just let it keep soaking in. Yeah, it's definitely coming in more. Do you feel how it's kind of strengthening in you?
Yeah, I feel it in my heart.
Good, good. So just feel it wherever it is and just stay passive. Don't do anything. Just let it come to you. Yeah, I feel a part of you that's scared to let go completely. And you can talk to that part as a little separate being and say, "Hey, I understand your fear, but let's just try it. If you feel like it's not going well, you jump in and you know, do what you got to do, but let's at least give it a fair chance to come in and see if we like it." And that kind of inner dialogue with a resistant part can be helpful. But I feel like you're pretty well saturated.
Yeah, I kind of felt myself kind of sink into my bed a little bit more.
Good. So 0 to 10 of the energies you called in, how strong is it now on that 0 to 10 scale?
Probably a seven, I would say.
And you, what were, did, do I remember, were you like at a 2 or 3 when you started?
Like a three or four somewhere there.
So
It's just
you've roughly doubled. That's great.
Yeah. And I know it's because I'm second guessing myself, you know.
Well, I'll remind you, once you've invoked, there's no thought that can help you.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, if thoughts arise, consider them distractions, regardless of the content, and you just put your attention back on the feeling, just keep coming back to feeling. It's okay if there's a part that jumps in and tries to chatter, and you, okay, you can chatter away, but chatter in the background. I'm going to focus on the energy. Am I correct that you are tending to engage with and resist the parts when they start their mental stuff?
Yeah, I'm sure I am. Yeah.
But that's, see, that's playing their game, and when you play into their game, they gain power.
Yeah. And I think part of it is with me, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Am I
But
doing it
again,
right?
that's not all of you. That's a part of you. So
Okay.
yourself is not thinking that. Yourself is just doing it. Do you understand the IFS idea that we have one self in many parts?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, just recognize when that happens, say a part of me is getting mental and chattering about this, and be okay with that. And as self, the pure being to say, okay, I see that part doing its thing, and it's welcome to do that in the background, but that's not what I'm going to choose to focus on. It can be in the background chattering, but I'm going to put my attention on the feeling of the invocation working. And
Okay.
just being really persistent, coming back to just I choose the feeling, not the thought. and just refocusing without resistance to the thought, I think we'll start shifting that focus. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So try that and see if that doesn't help. So again, I sense you're, I see, I feel like there's warring parts, one part doing the chatter, the other part trying to shush it up, and these parts get so engaged that they distract you from the matter at hand, which is feeling the energy, right? So,
Yes.
parts are, we all have wounded parts and they all have their reasons for doing what they do. But I think rather than getting into a whole bunch of complicated parts work on this, just focus on feeling and whatever the parts are doing, just let them be in the background and just don't feed them.
Okay.
Do you know the famous Native American story, the child is in the tribe and the elders telling the story of the two wolves. We all have one wolf on the left that's evil and one wolf on the right that's good. And the child instantly asks, "Well, which wolf is stronger?" And they say, "Well, which wolf are you feeding?"
Yeah.
So you're either feeding your thoughts or you're feeding your energy awareness,
Okay.
Okay. All right, cool. Is that
All
helpful?
right. Yes, it's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, cool. All right, great question. All right. All right. Whoever is next who's never been in the hot seat in this event, you're welcome to jump in. No one yet. Last call for anyone who's never been in the hot seat who wants to be there. All righty, then anybody can unmute. Anyone who wants to practice their invocation here, just unmute yourself and we'll do it. First come, first served. Judy.
Hi.
Hey.
Last week when we did it, I realized that I was getting a lot of energy going to my left leg because I know I have issues with my bones, and
Okay.
I was just shocked. after I got off, I mean, there was so much energy going into my leg. But I wanted to ask,
So wait, was that a good or bad thing?
oh, it was a great thing.
Okay, good to know. Just
It
wanted to be sure.
was great. Yeah, it was a great thing. So, what I wanted to know is there a way you can direct the energy, let's say to the like for instance, the cataract in my eye,
Oh,
or
sure.
does it go where it feels it's needed?
Well, that is so simple. In fact, that's part of the basic instruction for the healing invocation. You do the healing invocation, maximum healing that serves highest good, please. Then you simply hold your attention where you want the energy to go. You don't even have to verbalize.
Oh, yeah, you did say
So
that.
if you want it in the left eye, then you say the words and you put your attention in your left eye, and that's where the energy goes. And if you
Oh,
want to be even
okay.
more specific, please maximum healing for the cataract in my left eye or whatever it's
Yeah,
you're calling
yeah,
for, you can
yeah.
verbalize too. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you said that. Now that you said it again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that was easy. Thanks. All right, in and out. Very good. Oh, Judy, did you want to practice that or just get the information?
Yeah, let's try practicing.
Okay, so what area do you want to put healing energy into?
In my right eye,
Okay, and for what purpose?
the cataract.
Okay, so we know there's a cataract, but what do you want to have happen to the cataract?
Shrink
Okay,
or wash away or
so you
get
want to,
out.
all right, so I think eliminated.
Yes, that's a good word.
Yeah, it's important to be, if you're going to put words, be sure you're really putting the word in there that you want, right?
Okay,
So you want it
okay,
eliminated,
okay.
okay?
Eliminate it,
All
yes.
right, so right now, is there, as you look out the right eye, can you tell there's a cataract because of the way it's affecting your vision?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I want you to just take a moment and really observe the visual effect of the cataract.
Okay.
Got a really good feeling of what the effect it's having. You got
Very
it?
cloudy.
Okay. All right, so you know what the before is then. So we'll do the
Yes.
healing and then we'll check the after and see if there was any difference. Okay.
Ooh, yes.
All right, so you ready?
Yeah.
All right, say, Maximum healing that serves highest good, please.
Maximum healing that serves highest good, please.
Maximum elimination of the cataract in my right eye.
Maximum elimination of the cataract in my right eye
Serves highest good.
that serves highest good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now just relax and hold attention in the right eye. Feel all that energy going there. Yeah, so just hold attention there. They'll do what they can. Huh.
What?
And just hold attention on the feeling of the energy. Like we were discussing a moment ago, there's no thought that can help you. Just feel the feeling, right eye, and just let it run till they're done. Are you getting into a bit of an altered state there? A nice
I
feeling.
am not sure.
Is there a nice feeling coming over your whole body?
Yeah, especially in my palms, in my hand.
Okay, that's the altered.
Yeah, I feel it now, yeah.
Yeah, so but I just noticed that happening peripherally, but put the energy in the right eye.
Okay.
And they'd like you to add this or something better.
This or something better.
All right, just relax. Feel like the energy is peaking. Just let them do. And they're not just in your eye. I feel this throughout much of your body here.
Really?
Yeah. Are you really fully surrendered? Are you truly, oh, totally relaxed and open to whatever the energy wants to do anywhere? All right, good. Stay there. Just, the more passive, the better. I feel like you just relaxed a little more and they're able to go deeper. Good. Good. I feel like they're done. So check the vision in the right eye, see if it's any different.
I was looking through the right eye, and I did see a speck of light, but it's gone now.
Okay. So regarding just the physical vision, is there any difference now having done that?
Not much, no.
Okay. Well, again, a cataract. Sometimes they can heal them, sometimes they can't. It may be something you have to go get the eye surgery for. I
That's
know
what I.
that I got cataracts, many years ago. I got them really young. They're hereditary. And, even back then, cataract surgery was not a big deal, quick and easy routine. So it's not a major deal anymore if you got to get the surgery.
I
And
was
the good
trying
thing
to
is, once you get them out, they can't grow back. It's a one
I
shot.
know. I know.
That's a good thing.
I know. I will have nothing to work with anymore.
All right. Yeah. So if you need surgery, just get it and get your vision back.
Thank you. Yeah, I
You're welcome. Yeah,
know.
it'll be a nice revision. Ha ha ha.
Okie
And
dokie.
just a meta note here. I'm aware that I did not have us all do the embodied awakening invocation up front like I usually do. And that's usually what I recommend before doing things of this nature. But for some reason, I was called not to, and just to perhaps demonstrate that these invocations work even if you don't do that setup. So normally, I recommend doing that before you do other invocations. But in this case, I just, for some reason, I guess we wanted to see that, oh, it works without that too, if you got to. Okay. And that's for everybody. Okay, thank you, Judy, for stepping up. Who's next? Unmute if you would like to be in the hot seat. We've got an invocation you'd like insight on, or you want to practice it? Hey, Vivian.
Hello there.
Welcome.
Thank you. So I'm having a resistance to the invocation work that I've been trying to do.
Oh, okay.
So I've asked for, and perhaps I asked for too much, I don't know, but I asked for maximum clearing of sorrow from this and any other lifetimes to the greatest extent that is going to serve the highest good, this or something better, please.
Okay.
And what's been happening is not only have I felt a lot of grief moving through, but then I found myself like clenching up around it and
Oh.
being very a bit resentful of it, really, as if it's like you're here again, as if I'm also dealing with layers of fear. And
Yeah.
I think the fear has to do with fear of starvation, actually,
Huh.
not just emotional starvation, but actually physical starvation.
Are you aware of
And
any past lives where you starved to death?
sorry.
Are you aware of any past lives where you actually starved to death?
Yes, more than one. Yes.
All right, well, that would certainly plant that fear. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd just like it to clear, you know.
Okay. Well, one thing I could say is you're getting what you asked for.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's like
Okay, so again, notice that you said maximum clearing of sorrow that serves highest good. So
well,
by
I did say
using
to serve highest good, which doesn't mean that I want to be like this experience of being. I've had to move inside to get a, in case you see the background changing, to get a plug for my phone, which is
fine. Do what you got to do.
deciding that it's on low battery. I won't be a minute.
All
It's
right. So
I'm still with you.
can I share some insights around what you've said so far?
Yes, good, yeah.
Okay. So if you call for a clearing and you're clenching, then know
Yeah.
that a part of you is resisting the healing.
Oh, that's for sure. I know that. It's just a question of how do I also deal with that in the moment?
Well, notice that earlier in this call, what I had one person do was give their full attention to the resistance, merge with it for a moment, and then just relax.
Yeah.
The resistance fell away. And that's usually what happens when people are having any kind of resistance to an invocation process. You just give the resistance or the clenching your full attention, be with it for a moment till you're nice and merged with it. Then you relax and it relaxes with you. And usually the invocation can proceed. That's the simplest way.
Yeah.
If that works. If it doesn't work, you might need to do a little basic parts work, and you are you aware of th that it's a part of you that's clenching? Do you have conscious awareness of that?
I'm pretty sure generally, well, sometimes what I sometimes wonder is whether I want to put a time limitation on the when I'm going to do this rather than having it go through the whole day, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to judge for yourself how much of it you want to do and how long you want to spend on it. If, you know, it sounds to me like, you might just be overdoing it and doing more healing, time in the day than is really optimal for you.
Yeah, I suspect, I think that might be it, because if I actually really focus, then I will generally get a flashback around where the sorrow's from and
Okay.
what the thing is around. It may be that I just need to set limits around. Look, I've got this amount of time available every day. Please help me use this to the maximum to clear to clear this, and
Yeah.
then I go about the rest of the
Yeah,
things.
I think that's a great idea. Just try to, maybe err on the side of go scale way back and just do a little bit and see
Yeah.
if a shorter amount is comfortable. And then you can, well, let me add 10, 15 minutes and see if that's good. It
Yeah.
also might be better, instead of doing it all in one long stretch, to break it up into little bits and pieces through the day.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever
Because
your schedule is,
the thing is that there are also other things during the day that other, if I say for now and from, all other parallel times, I have to catch the moment when I do hear something that's sad on the news, or I've got a friend who's dying and I pick something up from there, or I, I get a past life flashback and then something comes up. So I need, it's like that scalpel discernment about what was the trigger
Right.
for this particular occurrence so that I can unfreeze and allow that feeling to just move through. So yeah, I think the thing is to like say, okay, this is a practice for a particular hour of the day or something like that. I
Yeah, I
think
think,
that.
just increased discrimination, like you're saying, of when to do it that's best for you.
Yes. So that might be a new invocation around, help me with that,
Optimal knowledge of the ideal time to do healing invocations. Is that
yes.
what you're aiming at?
Say that again, optimal.
Optimal clarity on when to do healing invocations that serves highest good. In other words, you're asking for the knowledge of when to do them. Is that what you're getting at? Am I understanding you?
No, I it,
Or what?
no, I
Rephrase the
think
question. I mean, I
I
think you lost the point.
choose the time of the day. I think the fact that I actually, I think the maximum. So there are two things. One is that I'm going to set some requests around when is now the right time. Again, I'm going to put my attention fully to what may emerge. So. I can allow that. So but I think the other request is something around that maximum discernment around triggers that occur during the rest of the day so that I can acknowledge and then move smoothly through the rest of my day so that I don't get submerged and distracted in the rest of my day by what feels like a bleed over. I feel like I'm getting a lot of bleed over from this inner work into the rest of my day.
So, if I understand you, then what you have been doing is when you get triggered, you're immediately moving into a healing process around the trigger. Is that your habit
Yeah,
right now?
pretty much. Pretty much when I'm aware of what that's about, I can do that. It's like when several things all come up at once, I get submerged and then my energy goes kind of low and it's I mean, of course it doesn't help when it's 43 degrees, you've got 110 degrees. It's much cooler today and I'm feeling a bit better. But and I've got some little things to help me. Like I go out in the garden, I notice the passion fruit is getting a bit bigger, or the roses are bright red, or I know how to care for myself in taking myself into the present moment with joy. But there's something around having the doors. Is that I don't get too much bleed over, though, like precisely the right amount that I can cope with, really.
What you could say is declare to spirits, okay, new protocol. When I get triggered at any time during the day, I'm going to note it and save it. And then, when it's my time to do my healing work for the day, then let's reopen it and process it. But let's do this on my schedule.
Yes, something like that. So it would be something. It's not just note it, because I usually in that moment can offer a moment of acknowledgement and joy into that moment. So there will be a little bit of a like a shot, but
Okay.
that I'm not going to do the full processing because to do the full processing would take too much time and energy out of the other
Exactly.
things I want to be doing. Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. So you just need to be setting a boundary around your healing work and
A boundary around the inner
time and place
work
to
that
achieve.
doesn't bleed. Yeah.
I think that's a great
So
idea.
today, help me. Help me frame that. I'm going to reframe this, please.
Good. Yeah, try that and see how it works.
I ask for maximum discernment in the moment as feelings arise. Maximum acceptance for the moment with the knowledge that I will be able to process these between 7 and 8 in the mornings
Right.
to the greatest extent that serves highest good. This or something better,
Okay,
please.
now relax and feel that. Yeah, feel that.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like that feels like a yes to me. Yeah,
No, like I was, I was kind of asking for feedback, but it sounded okay, right?
that was well phrased, and the energy I felt immediately after feels like a yes from your allies. They're actually saying good on you for setting a boundary. I hear them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying we're in partnership here, and we're
Yeah.
to work with you in ways that work for you.
Yeah.
They're
Yeah.
emphasizing free will, baby. You can arrange the things however you wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
It
right.
feels, does, it actually does feel a bit better. I can feel that. Yeah. I can feel that
And
moving
like
through. Thank you.
anything, this is a new thing. Try it, see how it works. And
Yeah.
if this works great, then you got a new protocol. And you can always change it later if you perceive a better way to do it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
one of the principles I go by is the principle good enough for now. This is the best I can conceive. Let's try it and see what actually happens. Yeah.
Yeah. So the original invocation is fine. It just needs to be boundaried around a particular time of the day. And if any other flashes come, that they're acknowledged, but then they're processed later, or
Yeah.
processed to the point that it's actually I'm fully available to do that work. Yeah.
Yeah, try it and see.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it sounds great in theory. Let's put it in practice and see what actually happens.
Yeah. Thanks very much. I appreciate
Right.
that.
Great, great. I'll
Okay,
send
that's it. That's me.
Good job, Vivian. All right.
Oh.
Who is next? The floor is open for the next person for the hot seat. I'm noticing that we have not yet heard from Jeannie or Melissa or Michelle or Nicole. So if any of you ladies would like to step in and hot seat, feel free to unmute yourself. Jeannie, hi.
Hi, I just want to say I'm doing great and I'm just getting a lot out of everyone else's invocations.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, so I'm good. So go ahead and go to
Great.
somebody. Maybe the first person, maybe she can go again because she had another.
Well, I know that, but I want to leave
Yeah, okay.
longer for any people who haven't actually hot seated yet today.
Sure. Well, thank you. Thank you for asking.
And thank you for being here, Jeannie. It always helps us when you bring your beautiful energy. Of
Well, thank you. Thank you.
course, that's true for everybody. What is it they say? Everyone is unique and special and one of a kind, just like everybody else. Nicole.
Hey, excuse me, I'm lying down in the bed here in Little Hurst. So I missed the beginning, so I'm not completely positive of the context of tonight's event.
Well, we're doing this is invocation practice, and people get bring their whatever they want to learn about with an invocation or practice it or get an insight into it, and I give them.
Okay. So is this more like help with wording or
Whatever, wording
whatever?
practice,
Okay.
whatever you need help with.
Okay. Well, let me do, I guess, yeah. I mean, there's one that's kind of obvious that I don't really need help with, but there's one that could stand to have help with wording and conceptualizing. So I'm just kind of starting to move out into the sphere of thinking about like work and livelihood and stuff. Like I've done enough healing, I think, of other areas that I'm finally beginning, able and beginning to tackle the really big one. And this is the really, really big one.
All right, good.
Yeah, and so I've been signing up for a lot of these like free 5-day life coach accelerator challenges and course creation challenges and whatever, and not really participating because the minute I get into them, I'm like, I want to vomit. Because they're nauseating, honestly. But so I mean, for I've been thinking about like what I'm gonna be when I grow up and what I'm gonna do for a livelihood for 30 plus years now, and I still can't figure it out. And everything that I can think of, there are enormous obstacles to, and just it's just really frustrating. And there is kind of a thing that's been sort of clarifying in my mind just very, very recently. And I think this kind of explains why I'm so nauseated by the whole life coach industry, which seems kind of like the short route to what I want. But I'm realizing that I really want to work with like the most traumatized people and the most distressed, like people who are homeless or on the streets or, have DID and, like have been abused their entire lives, But the problem is that, in most states in the US, that falls under the purview of therapy. And most states have regulations against, quote unquote, practicing medicine without a license. In some
So I'm
states.
going to pause you, Nicole. This is all really fascinating, but how does this relate to invocation work?
Right. Well, so this is what I'm trying to figure out. Like, I want help with somehow wording an invocation to get clarity around like what I want to do for a livelihood, what is the best thing for me to
Oh,
do for a livelihood,
that's so
what
easy.
is the most accessible,
You could just
and
invoke
trust the leap out.
maximum clarity on highest good livelihood that serves highest good, please. It's just that.
Okay. But I also want to know what would be, I mean, like not just the clarity, but I want to know what would be bring me the most joy and satisfaction and also be the
Yeah,
most
I just
helpful
said highest.
financially. And
Yeah, notice that
okay,
I said highest good livelihood.
highest good. okay
And to me,
okay
highest good corrals all that together.
All right.
So you could invoke maximum clarity on my highest good livelihood.
Okay.
And then,
Maximum.
yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Should I
So,
do it?
well, let me complete verbalizing it.
Okay, sure.
So what I would do is probably do embodied awakening first.
Okay.
And you say maximum clarity on my highest good livelihood at this time. Notice that time is important too. And then just relax and be really, really passive. And you may feel energy moving, but with this invocation, you're more likely to get imagery or thoughts around
Right.
what you're asking for.
But
And
can I also, okay.
what?
Can I also, I also want to ask for like all the obstacles to be cleared away.
Well, that's a different invocation.
Okay.
Let's keep the things clear and separate. So the
Okay.
information about it is one process, the clearing of the obstacles is a different invocation.
Okay.
So
Okay. That's
the first invocation is for mental clarity.
right.
Second would be for energetic healing.
Okay.
I wouldn't mix them. I would do one or the other at a time.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good
Okay.
with invocations to have one really clear, simple focus. That's why I
Right.
also use the smallest number of words to get the job done.
Yeah.
And then give your higher self time to take the appropriate action that you've invoked.
Okay.
Now, also, with a, now again, I don't really talk much and I don't usually teach about, getting mental insight within vocations. I've been focused much more on the part, but with this one, for some people, it would be best just to sit and see what imagery comes in. Some people would do automatic writing. Like there's a, I think the very first post I ever put up on my site was a process where you just put the topic sentence at the top. I, this is what I want to know, spirit. And then they timer and they're like, write for 15 or 30 minutes. And the only rule is you can't stop writing. For
Right, those
writing
kinds of
is
things.
I don't know what to write over and over again. But you just,
Right.
and at some point, often after everything you've already thought about comes out and you're in virgin territory, at some point then often you find, ooh, what I'm writing here feels really special. And you notice, all right, that's God's hand putting those words down on the paper for me. So
Yeah, I mean, I've just sort of done that sort of thing before, and the problem is I just don't trust what I get. So the way I would know that it's the right thing is that I have no doubts. Like there's no
no, that's not true.
alternative path.
The way you know is that the feeling of it when it shows up, when the thought or the, when the idea comes, whether you're getting it just mentally or you're writing it, there is a feeling of certainty at that moment. That's what characterizes intuition at all. You just know your whole body.
Yeah, but then 2 seconds later, I'll have certainty about something else, or I will doubt the thing
No.
that
All right, but understand the only really certainty I know of to be sure what the real guidance was that feeling of the moment. Whether you doubt it 2 seconds later doesn't matter. That's another part of you jumping up and reacting to the intuition. You can't
Well,
let the doubting mind stop you from recognizing what was legitimate download.
except again, I'm a polymath, and so there are like 300 different pathways that I could take.
Right, but again,
And
that's your mind talking.
I don't know about that.
Can I
Don't.
say, may I add
Jump in.
something? Okay,
Jump in.
Sure.
thank you. I might want to know from my higher being. There's two things. One is, what further do I need to know about trauma in order to be of the deepest service to people who've been profoundly traumatized? So that is the first thing, because that's about embodied knowledge of that work, that maximum clarity about that, because it might well be that there's still something that it was going to be helpful to do a course or do some work of your own, or anyway, whatever the answers are. The other is that people who have these difficult histories often don't have very much money.
Exactly. That's one of the
So,
big obstacles. Yep.
yeah, exactly. So
Absolutely.
if you need to earn a living from this, you might need maximum clarity around what proportion of your coaching work will be best to offer pro bono or through a community organization or something like that. Could be quite simple. It's, oh, I'm able to actually offer 25% of my time to this, and that, or more, but that would be something your higher being would actually tell you, I think, because it's no. This work, having done a lot of it myself, you can't do it beyond your own capacity. So that needs to be sorted out. And that's just my thought
Yeah, and
about
I
it.
also, right, and I also can't do it beyond the state, licensing regulations and all
I
that stuff.
wouldn't, I wouldn't, I wouldn't worry too much about that, because if you're a coach and you know that you've got, two slots a week even, you don't have to fill that up through like a coaching thing. You can walk down the street and you will meet somebody and you will sit on a park bench with them and the things will open up. So it might not actually necessarily be in a formal therapy setting. Your contract may be more soul to soul. And then you have to be really careful of your boundaries about what you're doing. You ask for some guidance around that. But not everything that you do has to fit within whatever you're credentialed for, or any formal psychotherapy frame that the state requires, or anything that the person that you're, in service to is actually going to recognize as psychotherapy. That's my thought around that.
Yeah, let me bring it back to thank you. Those were great insights, Vivian, and you've done much more in this field than I have, so I'm glad you chimed in with your voice of wisdom.
Well, I don't know. I just hope it's helpful. That's all.
I thought it was. But Nicole, the big picture I'm getting is you have a lot of different parts who want to jump in and kind of dominate your thinking and conversing. So I would just try to really stay as self, capital S, self-aware as you can to notice those different parts chiming in with their different thoughts and opinions. And in terms of being a polymath, that is not a problem. I'm a polymath too. I mean, I'm an astrologer, I'm a shamanic healer, I'm a life coach, I run a membership, I'm a physician. I mean, I've got a lot of hats too. And what I've learned to do with the dilemma of being multi-talented is I just feel in and I just feel which talent needs to be at the forefront at the moment. And also, in turn, you said one of the first things, you said, what am I going to do when I grow up? For a lot of people, that's the wrong question. For a lot of people, it's about doing a series of things over the course of a lifetime and transitioning in and out of various vocations during the course of a lifetime. So some people are here to do quite a few different things.
Right. But I mean, the problem for me is that if I'm not doing 20 different things at once, I feel like I've cut off limbs. It's like my soul starts to wither if I
And
only do
then you
one
need
thing.
to set yourself a vocational situation where you have a lot of diverse patients.
And I just, that's just been beyond my ability to manage or manifest
Well,
for a
again,
very long time.
you can invoke. I already gave you the wording for the ideal occupation invocation, and if you want to specify, and an invocation vocation that serves highest good that satisfies my need for variety. I put that in there too. So I sense a part of you that feels like it's just not possible to get what you want, and I believe it is.
I just it's more like no. It just like am I getting tangled up?
Understand.
It just needs to be what I want and not what other people think I should have, or
Yeah,
you know.
we'll put that in the invocation.
Yeah, okay.
Try to make a clear, simple statement of these are all the criteria of the job I want. And you say, Spirit, give me the clarity to find a job that fits this description.
Right. Or
And
create a job. Yeah, okay.
it could be you'll be entrepreneurial and make it for yourself. Who knows? So
Can I
those
ask something? I'm sorry.
are sure.
Sure.
Yeah, actually I used to work for housing. I mean, you don't That
Oh, I
means
definitely
didn't rent.
don't want to do that. No,
You don't
that's
want to
not.
do kind of social work or
No,
social
no,
services,
no, no,
Habitat
no.
for
I want. I
Humanity, the
basically
food
want to do.
bank.
I basically want to do psychotherapy without a license. That's
Well,
really, in a nutshell.
you would be surprised. I mean, because when I worked for housing, we had all these different programs to try and, get people out of that situation. So I wouldn't be so fast to judge that, because you can get involved in, they started like a little community center out in the poor part of town to help children. I mean, I kind of sounds like you want to go out and rescue people, and that doesn't sound very healthy to me.
No, that's not it. No.
But there are, I mean, that could be a start, though. Like I said, the food bank, there's a lot of organizations out there that help people that are struggling, and that might be a good place to at least go and make connections and get some experience.
Yeah, and we need to kind of wrap up your session here in a sec, Nicole, but consider the route I've taken. I don't have a psychotherapy degree, but as an astrologer, I can counsel people without a license. As a shamanic healer, I can heal and counsel people without a license. As a life
Yeah,
coach, I can do
I mean,
that without a license. So there's all
in many
kinds of
states,
backdoor ways to do similar work. without
Right,
the need for
exactly.
the certification, the label, and you can do kind of the
And
same
I
thing.
get that. And I also currently live in a state that is probably the most predatory with respect to putting people in jail for practicing medicine without a license.
Well, just be
So,
really clear that whatever you do is within the limits of the law then.
yeah, but okay.
One of the things that you can do is if you want to be a life coach or an astrologer, I don't know what your skill base is, but you actually, not the informal stuff that I was talking about on the park bench, but when you actually have somebody sign up, they actually say that they understand this is psychoeducation and not psychotherapy. Full stop. That you
I
take no
understand,
responsibility.
and I just read a story about a woman who was, arrested for practicing psychotherapy without a license in Illinois. And apparently anything that even smells like it can put you at risk. So I don't know. It just seems like there are a lot of obstacles.
So again,
So
you're going to have
I'm
to get
sorry, you need
yeah.
some
And
clarity about your
Nicole,
problem.
we really do need to wrap up your
That's
segment.
fine.
But again, just clearly there's a lot of potential obstacles. Just educate yourself as to how things are, where you are, and set up what you do within the parameters of the law so you don't get arrested.
Well, and
Well,
also so that I don't do harm. That's significant
yeah, very
and
much.
important as well.
Yeah, make
Yeah,
sure
and
that
that's
you know what you're
easy
doing
to
and are
do.
doing it safely, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or else
Well,
you do a counseling, you do a counseling course and get licensed. That's the other possibility.
What? I'm sorry?
Or else you do a counseling course and get licensed. That's
Oh, okay.
the other.
I can't. I can't. There are major
Fair
obstacles to
enough.
that too. Yeah.
I think Benjamin has come to the heart of it, really. It's fine. Good luck with it.
Okay.
We'll hear
Okay.
later.
All right. Best of luck, Nicole.
All right. Thanks.
All right. So we go up to 90 minutes on this call, and we're pretty juicy here. Who else? So the people remaining, I think Melissa is the only one who hasn't spoken. Melissa, did you want to jump in with a hot seat, or do you want to just observe? And if Melissa does not unmute, I'll assume she's observing. We'll leave a moment longer for her.
I've been observing. I don't do a lot of the invocations myself. I like to just do it in the recordings usually, and I don't know. I think I would benefit from doing invocations on my own, but I don't I'm not I don't have that practice currently.
Okay. Are you content with that situation?
Well, I'm, listening to other people and kind of like how they're using them, and I think I would benefit from doing them, like, in the morning, and or like, people have been sharing doing them when like triggers come up. That seems like it would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
May I make an inquiry?
Yeah, sure.
So, are you, would, is it in your desire field to live the day in a stronger, more harmonious state of being than you are already?
Yeah, for
Okay.
sure.
All right. Well, let me just suggest one, if you choose, it's totally your free will choice. I assume if you, plus there's at least some interest in this stuff. So, maybe if you just started the day with embodied awakening invocation, maximum embodied service high scope. Have you ever done that one on your own at all?
Yeah.
Okay. And does it have an effect?
Well, as we've been talk or as people have mentioned before, it's not nearly as juicy when you do it on your own, but
Is there any effect?
yeah.
Okay. Does it feel better after you do it than before you did it?
Yes.
And do you
I
have any?
mean, I think it's maybe it depends on the day and the situation.
Sure. But generally, there is some positive effect of saying it and letting it take effect.
Yeah.
And do you currently have any different practice that gives you a similar nice state any more quickly or efficiently?
Not that I'm utilizing.
But if you did use it, is there anything you have that might work quicker and better than the Ambato Awakening Invocation?
Yes, I listen.
And it's okay if there is. I'd love to know about it.
Yeah, there's another practice where I raise myself to like a higher plane. But I haven't been doing that either, but I'm gonna make a note to do that as well.
Yeah, I would just, use your own discretion. I mean, you've got, sounds like you got at least two good tools, and decide which one actually works better for you. And like I say in my book, I spend the whole book talking about invocations, but more than once I say, hey, if you got something that works better, then use that. You're always
Yeah.
supposed to use the best tool you have that works best for you. So I
Or
just
both.
recommend, I'm sorry.
I said or both.
Yeah, you could, pick the one that feels right that day, sure. But just doing something. But what I do know from my own experience, if I don't do a daily practice, I start sliding backwards without even realizing it, getting covered over, and it takes a while before I even know what's happening until I start, why am I feeling so miserable? Oh, I haven't been doing my practices, So I would strongly recommend doing at least, choose something and do it regularly, and that will, be so much better for you in terms of your mood and outlook and energy and vitality and everything. So I would just at least encourage you to do something, and with regularity, and practices such as the invocations that do it very quickly and efficiently in a matter of seconds. It's hard to find an excuse not to when it's that quick and easy. So, yeah, I would just encourage that for you. I mean, you have free will and can do what you want. I just know in my own life when I've slacked off and not done practices, I've always suffered for it. And I want you and everyone to be thriving and, going deeper into your divinity and these new levels of joy and incredible ability and consciousness that come when you keep waking up to a level. It's just so fun. So,
Deeper into divinity for sure.
yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I want to get I kind of want to like purify my auric field as well. Like I feel like I need to like cleanse and purify my energy body.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, whatever tool works best for you. I would get on that. Yeah. Having been oblivious to all this for so long and then knowing just how awesome it is and how incredible it feels and how much it increases your own ability to serve others, I just recommend this, any kind of effective healing or invocation work to anyone. I just know how much more amazing you're going to feel if you, do what you're talking about. So I just really encourage you to do it. Yeah. No pressure, but, and I'm not your boss, but I'm just did you want to maybe do a heal an invocation real quick for embodied awakening? Was this just talking up? Okay. All right, and I invite everyone to do it with us because we haven't actually done an embodied awakening invocation call yet. We're saving it to the end. So let's go ahead and Melissa, so go ahead. You already know the technology and the expertise. Is that correct, Melissa? All
Correct, yeah.
right, so take a moment and feel yourself as you are, your physical body, your energy body, and let me know when you have a read on the current energy state. And again, I invite everyone who's hearing my voice right now, live or on the recording, to do this with us if you want. So please say maximum embodied awakening.
Maximum embodied awakening
It serves highest good, please.
that serves highest good, please.
And let the words go and become completely passive. Woo! Feel the energy coming in. Doing great. You had to stay passive. You're mostly passive. You feel that clenchy part, though, that's kind of locking it down inside you. The kind of resistance, just kind of a knot of resistance energetically there. Do you have awareness of that?
I'm trying to pull it back.
No. Let's try a different approach.
Okay.
Just merge with it, feel the resistance completely, Be one with it exactly as it is. There you go. Yeah, just let yourself permeate it. A moment longer. Good. Now relax to zero. Yeah, feel it all opening up now. That's my favorite technique. We did that earlier. That's my favorite technique for resistance. Just merge with it, really get with it. And when you're with it, just relax, and it almost always relaxes with you.
That's cool.
That's the quickest, most effective way I know to get past resistance. Now go back to just feeling the whole body. Yeah, feel how the body feels more hollow now, and there's more space for the energy to come in. Just let it come in. I still feel part of you trying. So let me be, I'm going to list all the things not to do. Try all this. No effort, no willpower, no trying to make anything happen, no stopping anything from happening, no deliberate visualizing or imagining. That means all that's left is being passive. There you go. Feel it right there. How you just let go, and it now it's coming in even more better. Can you feel that? I feel like you're really getting it now. Is that your perception as well?
Yeah, it feels good.
So just stay passive, like you're real. Based on what I'm feeling, you're right there. Just stay passive and let it keep coming in like that. You need to give it a little time. It's got a lot of space to fill. So let it run for a moment. You're just passive. You're just feeling energy. That's it. I feel like you're almost topped off. Just a moment longer. There, I think you're there. So let's do the checklist. Is all the following true, Melissa? No mental chatter, no challenging emotion, peaceful, effortless. Did we check?
Yeah.
So
I
just
mean, it's
right.
a little, the peaceful is like, it's there, but it's because it's on a call and I'm having a conversation, it's different.
Well, sure. But there is peacefulness, right?
Yeah, there's peacefulness. It
And
was
all this.
interesting. I felt it like the resistance was like on the right side and then that went away and then filled in and then the left side filled. I don't know. It's
It's
interesting.
okay. None of that matters. You don't have to get caught
No, but
in bits and pieces of it. Just as long as it fills you up eventually, that's what we want.
It
Oh,
was just interesting to observe that
yeah.
while it was happening.
If what you just experienced, chances are if it was happening on this call, it may have been happening on your solo work too. So now that you can notice more consciously when there is resistance that's stopping the deeper experience, then now you know what to do about it. Or at least, you can do whatever you want, like I say. But,
Yeah.
if they're just merging with the resistance and then relaxing and having it relax with you is effective, then that's the quickest and easiest way I know to get past stuff like that.
Yeah, that's great. I missed that part earlier on the call. I came in late, so
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'm glad we did it again then.
yeah.
So if that's helpful, then yeah, whether this is your best tool or some other one works better, just really, I just so encourage anyone if they're interested in awakening and healing to find a practice and be consistent with it as long as that's your best practice you got. Or rotating practices that are all good or whatever you're choosing. It's just regular practice is so important. The world is doing a lot of cleanup right now, and all of us light workers are not just clearing for ourselves, we're clearing for the collective too. So getting up and at it is really helpful if you want to do the greater service, if you're called to that.
Yeah.
Okay. And any other loose ends, Melissa?
How, like, when you're starting to get into practicing it, like, how many times a day
Okay. The what I
do you check
recommend.
in?
All right, here's what I recommend. First thing in the morning for sure, as soon as you think about it, just take a few seconds and do it. And by the way, when people get in the groove of this thing, often they can say it and there'll be an embodied awakening in 5 or 10 seconds. So just a very brief amount of time and they're there. Then I say refresh as needed. If you do it once and it sticks all day, you don't need to do it again. But if you keep losing it, you might need to repeat the invocation a few dozen times that day, just however much you need it. If you're in it, you're fine. If you lose it, call it back with another, thinking or saying the 8 words and then just leaving a moment of passivity to refresh it. So I just recommend as needed. That's more realistic than regular timed practice for me. So try that and see if it's helpful.
I guess if you're not feeling peaceful and all the other things you feel when you're in it, then that's a check to be like, okay.
And if you're not sure, do it anyway and just see if you can top off a little more. It takes a little time. It's why not? Okay. I can spare 15 seconds. Yeah, so that's what I recommend.
Excellent.
Yeah. And of course, now our invocation course inside the membership is now ex pretty much the same content as my book and audiobook. So if you want to go to that section on the Embodied Awakening invocation and listen to that part, I give all the little details about optimizing it there. I've covered most of them on this call, but if you want it formally laid out, then you can read it or listen to it if you want to. Okay. Anything else, Melissa?
No.
I'm so glad you spoke up, and I hope that what we've done has been of some help to you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being here. All righty. And we got time for maybe one more person. So everyone's gone. Oh, Jeannie. Hi.
Hi. I just and maybe if somebody else would like to have practice on an invocation. I was just going to tell you what happened when I did an invocation this afternoon, a couple of hours before this call, and it went into a IFS that was really successful.
Oh, good.
And so the part that I find the most fascinating lately, because I've been doing these a long time, I've been doing embodied awakening with you for, I don't know, quite a while. And and I also like IFS because it reminds me of other things I've been taught. So anyway, I'm doing this invocation this afternoon, and I'm looking when I say the part that says, maximum embodied awakening, that serves highest good, please. I look and see if there's any resistance. And if there is, then I say, okay, so what is this about? Is there a part that wants to talk to me, that is having resistance? And the first thing I got was, attachment is the basis of all suffering. I think Buddha said that. So I'm like, okay, why did I get that? What am I attached to? It was my intuition trying to spur me forward. And so I went, okay, what am I attached to? It's like, oh, that I'm attached to believing that this is the way to react when I have this feeling. And oh, where did I learn that from? Oh, I learned that from my parents. Wasn't exactly a trauma, and it wasn't an IFS trauma, but it was where I learned the belief that, oh, you should be attached. If you don't think this other person is doing the right thing, this is a belief as a child, you come up with these things, then I'm supposed to do like my parents, and look what they do. They look consternated and they judge the situation and say, okay, this is that person's not doing the right thing, and I need to be upset about it. I need to be worried. I need to put my attention on it. And I'm thinking, oh, that's pretty attached. That's pretty judgmental in, one sense, but it's also attached. So I'm like, okay, let me go in and talk to the little one. And she ended up being, pretty smart once we discussed that you have this innate divine ability to know how to deal with things, and you had that when you came, and it's okay to use that. And it was perfectly all right that you didn't use it for a while because you were trying to learn how to survive. And maybe it wasn't so good that you were constantly divinely smart, because it might not have been good for your environment. I mean, to learn and to be around others and how to fit in. And, when you're 4 years old, you can't always go around teaching all the adults. Hey, you don't, because I tried that as a kid. I remember there was a family argument in a restaurant. And I went to my dad and I said, "Daddy, the light is coming. We don't have to argue. It's okay. You don't have to yell at my brother. It's all right." And he got so upset at me that, I needed to learn that, hey, there's a time and a place. If somebody's in an argument, that might not be the time to say, don't do that. So it's okay that as a child, I came up with the belief to be attached to judging and being consternated about something somebody else is doing. And it was perfectly fine. But now it's okay to go back to the divine knowing that you had as a child. And she all of a sudden, she did her own IFS. She had her own ideas completely how to handle things. And it was like, wow, you're pretty brilliant. And she, part of her unloading and gifts, I don't even, God, we didn't even get to the gifts coming in. She was just unburdening and integrating with the other parts. And I learned things like that from all my siblings. So she took a little light. She just took her hand and she had a light in her hand just naturally. And she touched all the pathways to all five of those people. And it cleared up all the timelines where she had taken up the belief that she needed to be attached and she needed to be attached, and that was causing her suffering. So I don't know. And then it was all about, I stepped off the patio wrong and hurt my leg. And it's like, I am forever hurting this little leg. And sure enough, I thought, it'd be kind of a lot to ask for an invocation and an IFS done in 20 minutes to fix this right away. But I bet you if I use ice, it'll be all better by the morning. Sure enough, I just used ice for like an hour and it's 80, at least 80% better. So I like the invocations. And today it led to an IFS. And so it's really great to practice all this stuff. And I'll admit at first it was hard to get into a practice. I mean, I think it was a whole year you were telling us when you wake up in the morning, do it first thing. It's like, yeah, darn it, I forgot to do it this morning. Oh, I forgot to do it. And then what happened was I did it enough in classes, events, that when I was in a dither of some sort or another, I would say, okay, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? And then I would do embodied awakening. And that's my go-to. I mean, yes, I do use custom ones all the time, but embodied awakening really, really helped. And the part that I need your comment on is that the karma clause for the highest and best, that serves highest good, please, that is to calm the parts, in my opinion, lately, to calm the parts that have resistance. Because a lot of times I'll feel all this resistance, but as soon as I say the karma clause, all the parts are quiet. So it's a way to appease any resistance that I have. And then if I don't want to appease it, if I want to find out, oh my goodness, I can do what I did today. Find out who's resistant. Would you like to talk to me? So
Fascinating.
anyway, I thought that was really fun that it happened today and we're doing invocations tonight. So I had to share.
Well, I have two bits of feedback. So the formal karma-free safety clause is to the greatest extent that serves highest good, this or something better, then you can draw on thank you. And I had never thought of it to appease parts. I always was speaking directly to the divine and making clear, hey, only give this to me to the extent that serves highest good. And if you got a better idea, let's do it that way instead. But I can see totally how a concerned part hearing that would feel some relief that, there's a way out if this isn't the best way.
Yes, there's some parts of me that go, no, we're not going to accept this invocation. This is not going to work because of this and this and this. And so if I say that last little part, normally get total quiet. Everybody's like, oh, okay. But not to the extent that it's going to get in my way because I'm not healed yet.
And the other is, as it's been my life pattern, I'll try to do something by the book, the way it's formally taught, and it never sticks. even if
Me
I
neither.
mention of it, it just sort of morphs into my own unique way of doing things. And I do the same thing. I will start invocations sometimes with clients, and it'll morph into IFS, or I'll start with IFS, and all of a sudden there will be an invocation happening in the middle of the IFS process, and it's all together. So I also have learned that when you gain enough mastery of a technology, and if you have more than one, enough mastery to do it well, let's just put it that way. I mean, ultimate mastery, I don't think ever happens. But they can start bleeding over and supporting each other. I've had people working with their part in with IFS, and sometimes will have that part, they will literally have their part do an invocation in its own little group.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I, you know, that's funny because I just started doing that. I just started doing that like a week ago. That, oh, little part, we're gonna have a little thing here. Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
fractal. I mean, every part has its own little universe, So it has its own little higher self, if you want to think about it, and so that all works. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it's just worth the practice. And if you don't, it's okay, because when you get into a situation where you don't like the way you feel, some part of you might go, hey, we've got a tool for this, you know, and you'll get more and more used to, as soon as something's not feeling very good, to do something. Yeah.
And I in Awakening Plus, I and in my own practice, I constantly offer a limited repertoire of tools. We have invocations, we have IFS, we have straight up shamanism, and I don't really go much beyond that. And that's an effective tool set for me. But there's lots of other great tools and technologies out there. And anyone who has other great technologies that they want to, use and supplement to or blend into, just be creative. There's no end to the creative possibilities here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Judy, did you have a last comment before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the one I have one that I use called Pure Bioenergy. Any place that hurts, 4 sessions and it's gone most of the time.
Wow.
Most of the time, not always.
Sweet.
Especially for like COVID and, you know, those kind of things. I've
Wow.
healed many of my friends and son's friends and daughter's people.
Wow.
Yeah,
It's called
that's the one I
Pure
use.
Bioenergy.
Pure bioenergy, yeah.
And
But I go ahead.
is that done in person, or can it be done long distance?
I can do long distance. It's a
Wow.
lot of hand movement, you know, just get into the biofield and put energy there, and put
Sweet.
energy where the issue is manifested.
Wow,
So
that's amazing.
you work on the problem, not when I say the problem. The symptoms, like if you have like for the COVID, you know, you do a lot of lung energy. You put a lot of energy in the lungs, and you know, you start with the head, and then you go down to the lungs. And,
Wow, very
yeah,
cool. I never heard
and
of
that's
it. That sounds amazing.
yeah, it is.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that, Judy.
That's my little sharing.
Right, well, this has been a really juicy call. So I appreciate all of you showing up, including those who were here and then left, and all of you on the recording who've been participating that way. So we'll get this up in the archive tomorrow, and really appreciate all of you being part of this. And of course, we've got three events next week, and always more coming after that. So can never thank you enough for being part of the membership. Thanks so much for being
Yeah,
here.
I use the archives a lot, and it feels the same.
Oh, cool.
Feels the same as when I'm on here.
Oh,
I
good.
get I do feel the energy.
Oh, good. Well, that's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
thanks for bringing your good vibes, Judy.
All righty. Bye bye, guys.
Right. Bye, everyone. Thanks again for being here.
Bye, everybody. Thank you so much. Bye.